Stay tuned for Democracy Now.
Democracy Now. For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now to the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Donald Trump, I call on you once again. Remove this force from Minnesota. They are sowing chaos and violence. We've seen deadly violence from federal agents again and again and again.
Today, we'll spend the hour in Minnesota, where Governor Tim Walz has activated the National Guard following the second shooting death of a protester in Minneapolis by federal immigration agents. Alex Preti, an ICU nurse at the Veterans Administration, was helping a woman push to the ground when he was tackled and shot. He had a holstered gun that he was legally permitted to carry, but he never took out. We'll go to Minneapolis for a report from the streets and speak to a doctor who is a former colleague.
Alex was a sweet, kind, and gentle soul who had a strong sense of civic responsibility and really stood up for his community and his neighbors. His death is a devastating blow and truly frightening for all of us that want to stand up for our communities and our neighbors, and tells us that any interaction with ICE can be life-threatening.
Then we'll be joined by Nkema Levy Armstrong, the civil rights lawyer, minister, and activist who was arrested last week and jailed for protesting peacefully in a St. Paul church. She's now been released.
I'm grateful to have my freedom after feeling as if I was abducted by the federal government and the Trump administration merely for speaking truth to power about the joint role of David Easterwood as being a pastor and the director of the ICE office in Minnesota. What's next is that we continue to persevere in challenging the status quo, as well as fighting our case in court.
And we'll continue to hear from many Minnesotans themselves. On Friday, tens of thousands marched through the streets, closed businesses, and rallied for ICE to get out of Minnesota.
The fear is so tangible. This is our last option. We need to shut it all down. And so I am calling on every educator in this state, in this country, to shut it down with Minneapolis, with St. Paul. You need to shut it all down with us, because if we do not shut it down right now, your city is next.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Protests are continuing in Minnesota after federal immigration agents fatally shot 37-year-old Alex Jeffrey Preti in Minneapolis Saturday. He was an intensive care unit nurse in the Minneapolis Veterans Healthcare System who was filming officers on his phone during a protest against President Trump's immigration crackdown in Minneapolis. His killing comes just weeks after ICE fatally shot Renee Good, a 37-year-old mother of three in Minneapolis, and after Friday's demonstrations, where over 50,000 people took to the streets of downtown Minneapolis protesting ICE as thousands of residents held a general economic strike. Federal agents claimed Preti was a violent gunman who threatened to massacre law enforcement. But video evidence and witness statements directly contradict their account. Video footage shows Preti being wrestled to the ground by several law enforcement officers before being shot 10 times in less than 5 seconds. The videos show Preti coming to the defense of a woman who was shoved to the ground by a federal officer. The officer then sprays Preti with a chemical agent before tackling him to the street. Six agents surround Preti on the ground. At least one appears to fire at him at close range. They then step away from Preti's body, and one officer appears to fire six shots at Preti's motionless body. Preti had no criminal record and had a legal permit to carry a firearm, which he never took out. Preti's parents released a statement after his killing saying, quote, "We are heartbroken, but also very angry. The sickening lies told about our son by the administration are reprehensible and disgusting. Alex is clearly not holding a gun when attacked by Trump's murdering and cowardly ICE thugs. He has his phone in his right hand, and his empty left hand is raised above his head while trying to protect the woman ICE just pushed down, all while being pepper sprayed," his parents wrote. The Department of Homeland Security has blocked local investigators from probing the fatal shootings of Renee Good and Alex Preti. Protests erupted in Minnesota in the wake of Preti's killing.
What I've been seeing is that the community has been talking to each other as real people, and these people have come in and been hurting us. They've been attacking us when we've been doing nothing but following the law, peacefully observing, and then they decide to gang up and kill one of us.
NBC News is reporting President Trump is considering invoking the Insurrection Act to quell protests against ICE in Minneapolis. Minnesota's Democratic Governor Tim Walz has blamed untrained federal officers for the deaths of Renee Good and Alex Preti. This is Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey Saturday.
How many more Americans need to die or get badly hurt for this operation to end? How many more lives need to be lost before this administration realizes that a political and partisan narrative is not as important as American values? How many times must local and national leaders must plead with you, Donald Trump, to end this operation?
Meanwhile, the NRA, the National Rifle Association, issued a statement condemning the Trump administration's claims that justify Preti's killing because he was carrying a weapon. The NRA wrote, quote, "This sentiment is dangerous and wrong. Responsible public voices should be awaiting a full investigation, not making generalizations and demonizing law-abiding citizens," unquote. The NBA postponed Saturday's game between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Golden State Warriors after federal agents shot and killed Preti. The Timberwolves head coach, Chris Finch, denounced ICE's killing of Preti ahead of the game Sunday.
For the second time in less than 3 weeks, we've lost another beloved member of our community in the most unimaginable way. You know, as an organization, we are heartbroken for what we are having to witness and endure and watch. And we just want to extend our thoughts, prayers, and concern for Mr. Preti.
The NBA Players Association also released a statement saying, quote, "Following the news of yet another fatal shooting in Minneapolis, a city that's been on the forefront of the fight against injustices, NBA players can no longer remain silent. Now, more than ever, we must defend the right to freedom of speech and stand in solidarity with the people in Minnesota protesting and risking their lives to demand justice," unquote. Attorney General Pam Bondi is demanding access to Minnesota's voter rolls and welfare data in exchange for pulling ICE out of the state. In a letter sent to Minnesota Governor Tim Walz just hours after ICE fatally shot Alex Preti, Attorney General Bondi wrote, quote, share all of Minnesota's records on Medicaid and food and nutrition service programs, including the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program data with the federal government, unquote. Adding, quote, allow the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice to access voter rolls to confirm that Minnesota's voter registration practices comply with federal law, unquote. Meanwhile, Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer said Democrats plan to block a funding package next week if it includes money for the Department of Homeland Security. It comes as 120 House Democrats are sponsoring a bill to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. Tracy Mergen, an FBI supervisor in the Minneapolis field office, has resigned after unsuccessfully trying to investigate ICE agent Jonathan Ross, who fatally shot Renee Good. Mergen resigned after being pressured by the FBI's Washington Bureau to discontinue her probe into Ross. It comes as Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche said, quote, there is currently no basis for a criminal civil rights investigation, unquote, into Good's killing. Israeli forces have launched a military operation in North Gaza to search for the remains of soldier Ran Gvili, the last hostage held in the besieged territory. Israel has conditioned the reopening of the Rafah crossing between southern Gaza and Egypt on whether it retrieves the remains of Gvili. Israel's announcement came as Palestinians in Gaza mourned the killing of at least three Palestinians in Israeli attacks and another violation of the U.S. brokered truce. Among the victims, two children killed in an Israeli drone strike on a group of Palestinians gathering firewood near Kamel Adwan Hospital in northern Gaza. They were identified as 13-year-old Salman al-Zawahiri and his 15-year-old cousin, Mohammed al-Zawahiri. This is Mohammed's father.
So this is the peace they talk about? This is it? This is the peace? This is surrender, not peace. Now Mohammed is gone.
While Israel continues to violate the so-called ceasefire, President Trump's envoy, Steve Witkoff, and Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, held another discussion with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu this week on efforts to implement the second phase of the Gaza truce. In news from the occupied West Bank, Al Jazeera reports Israeli soldiers are forcing Palestinians to evacuate a number of buildings, including schools and kindergartens, in the town of Kfar Aqab, amidst escalating Israeli raids across the West Bank. In Britain, at least 86 protesters were arrested on the grounds of a London jail as they gathered to demand the release of Palestine Action political prisoners. The protest also focused on Palestine Action prisoner Mohammed Umar Khalid, who's 22 years old and relaunched his hunger strike about 2 weeks ago. He'd initially been on hunger strike since November, briefly pausing in December due to severe health complications. Videos of the protest at West London's Wormwood Scrubs jail shows police shoving protesters to the ground and handcuffing them. At least eight activists remain jailed as they await trial over charges related to their advocacy with Palestine Action, which was banned by the British government under its Terrorism Act. Many of them were previously on hunger strike for more than a month. Venezuela's interim government released more than 100 prisoners Sunday. The Venezuelan human rights group Foro Penal said dozens of those released had been detained for political reasons. Interim Venezuelan leader Delcy Rodriguez has vowed to continue to release hundreds of prisoners, including opponents of President Nicolas Maduro, who remains in a New York jail, along with his wife, following the U.S. military strike on Caracas earlier this month that led to their abduction. Meanwhile, Rodriguez has said she's had enough of what she slammed as orders from the Trump administration, saying the United States should, quote, let Venezuelan politics resolve our differences and internal conflicts. Enough of foreign powers, the acting president said. Rodriguez spoke from the Caribbean coastal town of Puerto La Cruz on Sunday.
We are at the forefront of Venezuela's economic and social happiness, and now it is up to us to become the country with the largest oil reserves in the world and the largest gas reserves in this hemisphere. Now it is up to us to become a true oil and gas producing power. We must not be afraid of the energy agenda, neither with the United States nor with the rest of the countries in the world.
The chair of the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices at the CDC, Dr. Kirk Milhone, said that shots against polio and measles should be optional. His comments came in an interview with the podcast Why Should I Trust You?, where Dr. Milhone said, quote, as you look at polio, we need to not be afraid to consider that we're in a different time now than we were then. Our sanitation is different, our risk of disease is different, and so that those all play into the evaluation of whether this is worthwhile of taking a risk for a vaccine or not, unquote. During the interview, he called school vaccinations authoritarian. Dr. Sean O'Leary, the chair of the Infectious Disease Committee at the American Academy of Pediatrics, said in response, quote, he has no idea what he's talking about. It's very frustrating for those of us who spend our careers trying to do what we can to improve the health of children to see harm coming to children because of an ideological agenda not grounded in science, unquote. And the Marxist scholar, political analyst, historian, and author Michael Parenti has died at the age of 92. He was an outspoken critic of capitalism, imperialism, and class inequities, whose intellectual works were celebrated around the world. He was the author of over 20 books, including Democracy for the Few and Super Patriotism. This is Michael Parenti on Democracy Now! In 2009.
Well, I argue that one of the functions of a capitalist state is to defend capitalism from itself, to defend capitalism from the capitalists. It was Marx, dare we mention him? I hear he's coming back in style. It was Marx who said one capitalist will kill many other capitalists, that the system, it begins to consume itself. We see that with Bernard Madoff and the like. The free market does not work. It's not free. It's not really a market. It's a plunder, and it has to be done away with.
To see our interviews with Michael Parenti, you can go to democracynow.org. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show in Minnesota, where federal immigration agents Saturday fatally shot Alex Jeffrey Preti, a 37-year-old ICU nurse who worked in the Minneapolis Veterans Healthcare System. Preti's killing came just over 2 weeks after an ICE agent fatally shot Renee Good, a 37-year-old poet and mother of three. And it came a day after a massive protest in Minnesota against Trump's immigration crackdown. As in the case of Renee Good, Trump administration officials quickly claimed Alex Preti posed a threat. Preti was a licensed gun owner and was armed, but video shows he never took out his gun. White House advisor Stephen Miller called Preti a would-be assassin. Border Patrol Chief Greg Bovino claimed Preti wanted to, quote, massacre law enforcement, unquote. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem claimed Preti had, quote, brandished a weapon. But video from the scene and sworn testimony from eyewitnesses told a very different story. I want to read the words of one eyewitness. The witness begins by describing how Preti had been helping to direct traffic in the minutes before he was fatally shot. The eyewitness wrote, quote, I and the man who was observing and helping direct traffic were standing in the street. There was a phone in the man's hand recording a video. An agent approached and asked us to back up, so I moved slowly back onto the sidewalk. The man stayed in the street filming as the other observers were being forced backward by another ICE agent threatening them with pepper spray. The man went closer to support them as they got threatened, just with his camera out. I didn't see him reach for or hold a gun. Then the ICE agent shoved one of the other observers to the ground. Then he started pepper spraying all three of them directly in the face and all over. The man with the phone put his hands above his head and the agent sprayed him again and pushed him. Then the man tried to help up the woman the ICE agent had shoved to the ground. The ICE agents just kept spraying. More agents came over and grabbed the man who was still trying to help the woman get up. The agents pulled the man on the ground. I didn't see him touch any of them. He wasn't even turned toward them. It didn't look like he was trying to resist, just trying to help the woman up. I didn't see him with a gun. They threw him to the ground. Four or five agents had him on the ground, and they just started shooting him. They shot him so many times. I don't know why they shot him. He was only helping. I was 5 feet from him, and they just shot him. That's the sworn testimony of an individual who witnessed immigration agents fatally shoot Alex Pretty on the streets of Minneapolis Saturday morning. Video shows Pretty never reach for his gun, and that an agent disarmed him by removing Pretty's gun from its holster before the first shot was fired. A total of 10 shots were fired. Six of the shots were fired at Pretty's motionless body. A doctor who witnessed the shooting described what happened next by saying, quote, "I saw that the victim was lying on his side and was surrounded by several ICE agents. I was confused as to why the victim was on his side, because that's not standard practice when a victim has been shot. Checking for a pulse and administering CPR is standard practice. Instead of doing either of those things, the ICE agents appeared to be counting his bullet wounds," unquote. After the shooting, the federal government blocked local investigators from reviewing the evidence, just like it did after the fatal shooting of Renee Good. On Saturday night, a federal judge issued a temporary restraining order barring federal officials, quote, "from destroying or altering evidence," unquote. A federal court hearing is set for today. Several Republican lawmakers have called for joint federal and state investigations. Louisiana Republican Senator Bill Cassidy said, quote, "the credibility of ICE and DHS are at stake," unquote. Democracy Now!'s John Hamilton was in the streets of Minneapolis this weekend and filed this report.
9 a.m. on Saturday morning, gunshots ring out across a stretch of the Whittier neighborhood of South Minneapolis known as Eat Street. Video of the homicide began to circulate across social media, prompting shocked and angry neighbors to pour into the streets despite temperatures below zero Fahrenheit. Within hours, protesters from across the Twin Cities region converged near the intersection of Nicollet Avenue and 26th Street, the site of the killing. They were met with extraordinary violence. Those arrested by the masked federal agents were shoved into unmarked SUVs, many with out-of-state plates.
They took my sister, Donna. She was on the corner exercising her First Amendment right to protest. We were standing on the corner. We got separated by ICE, and I turned around to find her, and she was being thrown on the ground, and there was, I don't know, four or five agents on top of her, and then they drug her to a car or to something. It might be that van down there. Sorry, I just want to find my sister, Donna. Please, somebody help me find where I can pick her up.
Okay. We're just running away from the gas. That's what we were doing.
Where is she right now?
He's being arrested by ICE.
Just as they did after ICE agent Jonathan Ross fatally shot Renee Good on January 7th, federal agents blocked state investigators with the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension from approaching the scene, even after BCA officers obtained a warrant signed by a judge.
My name is Kevin. I live a block away from here. I woke up today and heard the news and immediately came outside to start protesting. These people are Nazi fascists and they need to get out of our neighborhoods. They need to be abolished. This entire agency needs to be abolished. The constitutional observers are being dragged out of their vehicles. They're still breaking their windows, breaking out of their vehicles, pepper spraying. I'm seeing people being pepper sprayed who are just lying down and already tackled by three Border Patrol agents. This latest video, this person, six Border Patrol agents around them, and they still shot them five times in the street. It's just outright murder. They're just outright murdering us.
Yeah, hi, my name is Jeremy, and right now I'm standing on Stevens and 26th here, and I've got a ton of ICE agents sitting in the street, and they're all trying to push us back and get us out of the area. Just this morning, six ICE officers shot and killed one person. I came out here to protest, And all they have done ever since is arrest innocent people for walking into the street.
About 4 hours after they were filmed committing homicide in a video that was already racing across the internet, the masked federal agents left the scene. They drove away angry but peaceful protesters with volleys of tear gas, concussion grenades, and other so-called less lethal weapons.
Time for you to go! I think it's time for you to go!
ICE, Border Patrol, and other federal agents left in a convoy of SUVs tailed by an armored vehicle. Vacating a crime scene without any coordination with state or local law enforcement.
As they were leaving, they just started throwing tear gas and concussion flashbangs into the crowd. Nobody was doing anything. I was literally shaking hands with people I was talking to as they were leaving.
Just minutes after federal agents left the scene, uniformed state police officers fired volleys of tear gas as they left in a convoy that was flanked by a pair of armored vehicles. Reverend Genjo Sam Conway lives 3 blocks from the scene of the killing. He woke up to the sound of a helicopter overhead and rushed to the scene after learning the news.
This is somebody else. This is the DNR now, and the state patrol is what it looks like. We don't understand, one, why they're here, and we don't understand, two, why they're allowed to be masked as well. They are also refusing to identify themselves and not providing badge numbers or names. Get ICE out of here and be on our side. You're supposed to protect us. Not them. They don't live here. Help us. Help us right now. This is an occupation.
With the stench of tear gas still in the air, protesters gathered by the hundreds at the intersection of 26th and Nicollet Avenue, where they erected barricades cutting off vehicle traffic and erecting a memorial at the site of the killing. Across the street from where Alex Preti was gunned down by federal agents is Glam Doll Donuts, where eyewitnesses watched the killing through the restaurant's front window. Inside, some of the staff who witnessed the violence are feeding donuts and coffee to protesters who've come in from the cold.
My name is Melissa. I'm a volunteer for being a medic. And I'm here because I saw in my neighborhood that a nurse was murdered on Nicollet, and there was a lot of people here getting pepper sprayed. And so I wanted to come down and provide services to help our community. We've seen everything from people that are unconscious, that have fainted, tear gassed, bruised, bloody noses, can't breathe, like asthmatic events. Just simple things I haven't seen besides the worst thing that could happen to a human being, murdered. And I wasn't here at that time, but there were several people that are here now that were present. This is my neighborhood. I have to be out here. Right before, when I was coming here, I called my son to let him know where I was going and that I was volunteering as a medic, because I don't know. It could have been me. We are all Renee Good. It could have been us. The gentleman, I don't know his name, that was murdered today, that could have been my son or you. It's random. He was an observer. I'm an observer. I have this medic badge, but what does that mean? That doesn't mean anything. They don't care.
Jaylani Hussein is a Somali-American civil rights activist and executive director of the Minnesota chapter of CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations.
We are here again at another scene of a murder of really a neighbor who decided to be an observer today. You could see the videos that he was at the time standing up for his neighbors, and ICE agents did not like that and appeared to be approaching him. wrestling him to the ground, and then later on shooting and killing him. So it's a really tense situation. Minnesotans have come out today. There's a lot of people on the streets. We really just cannot make sense of what's happening. We are under assault. We are under attack. We're besieged by the federal government. We have 3,000 masked men in our community. Our law enforcement are overwhelmed, and we're feeling a sense of overcome by everything that's happening. Yet yesterday, in one of the coldest days of the year, nearly negative 10 degrees, 50,000 people came out in protesting. And it's just a reminder of who we are. And then just a day after, we had that many people come out who were inspired to stand up for Renee Good for their neighbors, and then to have one of our neighbors once again murdered. It's just incredible. And it's testing our state and our leadership and our community.